just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Let's sing it one more time. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, and I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Let's give him a hand of praise tonight. Father, we love you more than anything. It's not just words in a song, but it's the melody of our hearts. And Father, we're grateful to be able to come into your presence here tonight. I ask that you would just speak to us through your word. Your prophet told us that if revelation was beyond us, then to look up to heaven to ask for it. So we ask that you would speak to our hearts, bring clarity in the things that we would go over tonight. And God, may you just get all the glory and all the honor out of our gathering here tonight. Bless those that have arrived, those, God, that may still be on the way. Give traveling mercies to those that will join us online. Be with them and speak to them right where they are. God, those that are unable to be here tonight, ask that you administer to them as well. We give you the glory, the honor, the praise for this gathering. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. We'll turn our Bibles to Hebrews 11. Just kind of pick up from where we stopped on last week. I want to just start reading, maybe starting at verse 17 here in Hebrews 11. We've discussed this. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, and again, that word would be it would be a test, you know, that Abraham was going through. The scripture actually uses the word that God tempted, but we know it wasn't a tempt because we are drawn into temptation through our own lust, so God doesn't do that. But it's just a test that God allows to happen. So when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, which was a type of the Lord Jesus, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So that was Abraham's faith, that if God told him to offer Isaac, then God was going to give Isaac back somehow. Because he knew that the promise was to flow through Isaac. So Abraham's faith was a challenge, but he met the challenge. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, and we went through that on last week. So much in the story of Jacob and Esau, these twin boys, and you know we just kind of talked about a lot. You can see family dynamics all throughout that particular passage of scripture. And, you know, and it's just something that we could all just kind of take lessons from, how the mother love, one greater than the other, and the and the father loved the other one greater than, you know, the other, and it was always conflict in that home because the parents did that. So it's very important that as parents today that we share our love equally, amen, among our children. Don't let one feel like they're loved more than the others. Don't let the others feel that somebody's loved more than the other. So very important that we do that. Verse 21 is where we're going to kind of hit tonight, and hopefully verse 21 and 22. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Amen. And I think this is important. And notice that it says he blessing the sons of Joseph, right? These were not his sons. These were not Jacob's sons, but they were his grandsons. But Jacob actually took them as his sons. And by taking them, they were named, you know, amongst the tribes of Israel. All right. So Jacob took these boys as his sons. They were not his sons. They were grandsons, but he took them as his sons. Verse 22 says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And that's the man that got some faith. I'm going to die here in Egypt, but don't bury me here. Keep my grave above ground, because when it's time for you all to leave, my coffin, keep it above ground. When it's time for you all to leave, take my coffin with you. Amen. I'll be bones, but take my bones to the promised land. That's some faith there. Amen. So we want to, we'll just go right into a couple things here. I'm going to start at slide 18. Amen. Slide 18. Let's see here. We're focusing on verse 21. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. And if you read through Genesis, you'll see, you know, he was blessing all of his boys right before he was about to pass. But he took time also to bless Joseph's two boys, amen, that were born there in Egypt. And there was something unique that happened, you know, at the blessing. And maybe we'll read that. Let's just start from there. Genesis 48, let's start from there. Let's read this, Genesis 48. Something happened here at the time that he was blessing Joseph's sons. Here, Genesis 48, we'll start right at verse 1. And it says this, it says, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, excuse me, says that one told Joseph, thy father is sick, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee, and Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. It says, and Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me. And said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. So here Jacob is claiming these boys. He says they're mine. And as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Like he's taking them as his own two boys. Said they, and thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. All right. It says, and as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath. The same is Bethlehem. The same is Bethlehem. It says, and Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. So this was a common thing that when the father was passing, he would bless the children, amen, before he passed. It says, I will bless them. And it says, now the eyes of Israel were dim for age. They were dim for age. Now, this is Jacob. And I mentioned this to you all, I believe, last week, that this was a hereditary thing that passed down in their family. Isaac was blind, and he was so blind. We talked about it last week. He was so blind that when he could not see Jacob when he actually came into the room and tricked his daddy and gave him, the venison that he wanted. It was the wife, Rebecca, that came up with the plan to get her son, her favorite son, let's put it that way, get her favorite son a blessing, right? That she would go to the great extremes of even deceiving her own blind husband. Now, I want to tell you, brothers, if you got a wife that'll deceive you when you're blind, you got something on your hands. Amen, right? That's sad. The man is blind and his wife is deceiving him. That's a shame before God. That's a shame before God. It should never be that way. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, if there was ever time to be honest with the man, be honest with him when he's blind. Amen. Not. I mean, he can't see and he went through so much. Come near so I can smell you. Come so I can touch you and feel you and see if you're hairy, you know, like your brother is. I mean, he tried everything. And Brother Branham even say, ain't that something that God would allow his prophet to go through years like that, didn't bring healing to him or anything. And he also didn't reveal to him that his son was playing a trick on him. Didn't even reveal it to him. God allowed that to happen. And Brother Branham said it like this. He said, God only shows his prophets what he wants them to know. Only shows his prophets what he wants them to know. Hallelujah. So here we see this thing of blindness, amen, or having problems with their eyesight. This is something that is actually hereditary. It's passing down. And verse 10 says, now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them unto him and kissed them and embraced them. There was another statement. I don't have the quote with me, but I just remember the prophet sharing it. He was talking about as he got older. He said when Branhams get older, they kind of start shaking a little bit. He said it was something that just kind of passed down through generation. Like, can you imagine the prophet sharing this and all the people that has been healed in his ministry? And he's saying that there's something that passes down sometimes hereditary. Now, that's something to think about. That's just something to think about. Certainly, we want to use our faith to believe God for everything and anything, you know, but also keep a balance, understanding that these things do happen in Scripture, right? So, the older we get, amen, I tell you what, that devil start attacking a lot more. And it just helps us to understand that we these are not the bodies, amen, that we're going to have on the other side. It's going to be a change of this body, amen, because this body is nothing but a pest house. Amen. We look forward to having that body change. Verse 11 says, and Israel said unto Joseph, if I had not thought to see thy face, and Lord God have showed me also thy seed. And he goes on, he says, and Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in the right hand, toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head. So now now we can see why Paul is picking this up and presenting it. He takes his hands out, and Joseph lined them up appropriately so that when it came up before daddy that the oldest boy would get the blessing, the right hand. And here again, Jesus sitting at the right hand, The right hand is a position of power and authority, right? But here, he wants to put the oldest boy here to make sure that he get that blessing, right? Because the oldest is supposed to get it. So now, but when he goes to pray for him, he crosses his hand. He crosses the hands like this, okay? And when he has the hand crossed like that, Joseph is going to get a little concerned. But the hands crossed when he can't see, and now he does something like this. He crosses the hands when he's getting ready to pray for these boys. Now look at this, verse 14. Is that right? It says, "And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who fed me all my life, lifelong unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them. And the name of my fathers Abraham," and to me this is just like a little form of adoption, right? Him adopting these boys as his own. Right. It says, "Let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." And he goes on and says, "And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head," because Joseph had bowed down. Right. So there he's in a place of reverence. But when he hears the blessing, he look up, he see the hands across. And Joseph tries to take the daddy's hand off and say, no, put it like this, daddy. And he says, verse 18 says, "And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn, but thy right hand, put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know he the firstborn. I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations." Now, if we just really just kind of think about that, here Jacob doing that, but Jacob himself was also the younger one, right? He was also the younger one. Now, even though his mother helped trick the father and all that, God still blessed that mess. I like to say it just like that. You know, that sometimes God can bless a mess. Amen. Amen. I mean, that thing should not have went the way it went, but God can get in there and bless a mess. Amen. Sometimes God has a way of taking his permissive will and making it his perfect will. God has a way of doing that. That don't mean you won't go through nothing, right? You're going to have to endure something, but God got a way of just turning some things around for you. Praise the Lord. And here, when Jacob received a blessing from his father, even though he tricked him, right? He tricked him and got that blessing, but yet once it was spoken, it could not be taken back. After it was spoken, you know, we read it last week, and Jacob ran out, got the blessing, and he ran out the room. Esau come running in right behind Jacob and say, "Daddy, okay, I got your venison." And he's like, "Well, who was it that just left here with the blessing?" He's like, "What?" He said, "Oh, Jacob done got me again." Right? He said, "He's daddy, please give me a blessing." He say, "Son, I don't even know what to say to you, because I gave the blessing to your younger brother." So, you know, he still gave him something, but it's something how years later, the same thing manifests again, right? The younger is blessed, just as it was in Jacob's life. Oh, my God. All right, let's go on. I'm at verse 19. It says, "And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. He also shall become a people, and he shall also be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, and thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh." And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow." So we see this crossing of the hands, amen, here in Genesis 48. And as we just kind of slip back over here to Hebrews 11, verse 21, it tells us by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, everything that happened in the scripture has significance. Okay, so let's just kind of pull this. Let's get this. Yeah. Just hit next for me there. The prophet actually makes this statement. He says, the blessing comes through the cross. Think about that. If you notice, see that I put the picture of the cross there for you to see. It wasn't this cross, but it was this cross. The blessing comes through the cross. Look at it. He says, Galatians 3:13-14, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Right? The blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That we should be expecting the blessings of Abraham. Everything God did for Abraham, and I mistakenly read Genesis 24 for you a few weeks ago, but amen, it said Abraham was rich in all things. Right? And I say, Lord, if Abraham was that way, why can't we be that way? Amen, church. The blessing came through the cross. Look, he says, and not only was Abraham blessed naturally, Abraham was blessed spiritually. You know, Abraham knew things that was going to happen before other folk knew they was going to happen. Amen. God revealed things to Abraham that the others had no idea was going on. When Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be destroyed, God had already talked with Abraham, and he even told Abraham, say, shall I hide from Abraham the things that I'm about to do? Hallelujah. Amen. If Abraham himself had revelation before everybody else, what do you think about Abraham's seed? We're going to have revelation before anybody else going to have it. Glory. No matter how many folk they got in the church, they're not walking underneath the revelation that we have. Abraham's seed gets that revelation. Glory, 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 glory. That's why they know how to pray. Amen. And you know, Abraham never got Lot out of Sodom. Now, he rescued him one time, and Lot went right back down to Sodom again. After they was carried away, he went right back into that lifestyle. But before destruction came, Abraham's prayer got Lot out of Sodom. Hallelujah. Don't stop praying, church. I don't care how deep in sin our family members may be. Let's not stop praying. We stand in the gap for them. God will bring them out somehow. Somehow. Glory to God. I don't even know if Abraham saw when Lot came out. Right? The scripture doesn't even record that they saw each other again. Amen. But Lot came out. And that was because Abraham prayed. Amen. And when you go back and you really look at Abraham's prayer, Abraham never specifically asked for Lot. Abraham asked for 50, 45. If it's lacking 5, if it's lacking 10. And he got the number all the way down to 10. Right? And I can just imagine in Abraham's mind, he's thinking, now, Lot, his wife, 2 daughters, they married, you know, and I mean, and maybe Lot wouldn't let his daughters marry just anybody. Glory to God anyway. Maybe Lot got enough in him not to let his daughters just marry anybody. Praise the Lord. Y'all might not know too much about that story. You know, Lot's daughters got into a relationship with some men, and their relationships were never consummated. Because when the angels came, Lot's son-in-laws were out with the other men trying to get next to the angels. Something was wrong with Lot's son-in-laws. Praise the Lord. So it sounds like the marriage was more for financial gain. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? So you know, and even in the way that we can tell that, because if you read the story there in Genesis, I believe it's 19, Lot's daughters say they'd never been with men before. And not only that, Lot even said it. Said, my daughters have never been with a man before. Why don't y'all take my daughters? Told the men of the house, the men that surround the house, take my daughters and leave these men alone, these angels alone. Now that shows you there was some sin going on in Sodom. It was some serious sin. And they were married. Praise the Lord. Married, and the marriage was never consummated. That shows something. You know, don't do that. You make that vow. You stuck with it. Praise the Lord. You better know what you're doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And nowadays we live in a world where people will try to get married. Amen. Especially if you're a citizen of the U.S., there are people that want to meet you online. They'll offer you money. Praise the Lord. It's a financial arrangement. They offer you money to get married. Praise the Lord, somebody. Young ladies, y'all be careful of this, right? But they offer you all kind of money to get married, but you don't realize when you make that vow, there is no getting out of it. Amen. Now, is it really worth $10,000? Let me tell you something. $10,000 will not go very far. Go out and buy one car. One car. Truth, brother. Used car. It's the truth anyhow. That's all you're going to get with your $10,000. You done paid for it. It broke down as soon as you got it off the lot. Right? And now you ain't got no money to get it fixed. And you messed up in your marriage vow and everything. Don't do that. Praise the Lord. But see, this is a common thing. And that's the type of stuff that was going on down there in Sodom. Amen. I mean, these Lot allowed these his daughters to marry the wrong thing. The other thing is, had he not had them down in that type of environment, maybe they would have had some other options. All right. Be careful. Amen. All right. So this, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham came through the cross to the Gentiles. The Jews rejected the cross. Therefore, Jesus got the Gentile bride. That was that. That's the type of Jacob crossing his hands and giving the younger Ephraim the blessing over Manasseh being the older. So here we got the blessing of Abraham through the cross. The Jews rejected Christ. We accepted him, and we got the blessing through the cross. Now, I want to tell you, the Jews were blinded. I'm going to go to the quotes on this slide 18. The Jews were blinded at the time that Jesus came and died on the cross. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they were intentionally blinded. Now, you know, Brother Branham said, the same way the Jews were blinded, y'all, we might not realize it, but you know the Gentiles today have the same blindness on them that the Jews had at that time. The Gentiles today are not able to recognize truth for their day. And they have received the same blindness. That's why the scripture said that they'll be wretched, poor, miserable, naked, blind. So the Gentiles have the same blindness on them where they can't see the Messiah, amen, and how he's operating today. They're missing it completely. They're under the same blindness that the Jews had. It's also showing you that there's another cross getting ready to happen. The gospel is going back to the Jews. Amen. We're there. All right. This quote out of Revelation of Jesus Christ. The prophet says this. Now notice then, before Joseph went forth, they had to sound the trumpet. First, and people scream, bow the knee for Joseph. No matter what a man was doing, he was selling the product on the street. When the trumpet sounded, he bowed his knee. A man was just about ready to reach out and get his money. But he bowed his knee. Joseph was coming. Oh, the mimic was just about ready to make his act. And what he do, he had to stop. Joseph is coming. The trumpet sounded. One of these days, everything, even time, will stand still when the trumpet of God shall sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and the morning breaks eternal, bright, and fair. Everything will bow the knee. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to it. Start now. Some men's sins go before, some follow. He says, but now notice what taking place, how glorious when Joseph, after he married a Gentile and received a family, Ephraim and Manasseh's sons. Did you notice at the end when Jacob started to bless Ephraim and Manasseh, when he started to put his hand, he put Ephraim on the right, Manasseh on the left to get the right hand blessing of the oldest. But when he started to pray, his hands crossed and he gave the youngest one the right hand blessing instead of the one that was on the right hand. And Joseph said, not so, Father. Said, you have put the blessing on Manasseh instead of on Ephraim. He said, God has crossed my hands. What from the Jews, the oldest, the first chosen of God, through the cross come the blessing back to the Gentiles to get the bride. Blessing come through the cross. The blessing come through. Wait a minute, let me start to pray. I think I missed. Blessing come through the cross from the Jew to the Gentile. Rejected, they rejected the cross, therefore he got the Gentile bride. But notice another glorious revelation. In this typing of Joseph, Joseph, while in Egypt, was given a Gentile bride, and through her, he received a family of two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Joseph asked his father to bless the two boys. He placed them in front. I think what paragraph am I at? Yeah, okay, I think, all right, that's right, that's right. He placed them in front, and Jacob, so that Manasseh, firstborn, would be on Jacob's right, and Ephraim to the left. As Jacob was about to bless them, he crossed his hands so that the right hand fell upon the younger. Joseph cried, not so, Father, this is the firstborn of you, the firstborn of your right. But Jacob said, God crossed my hands. Here in type we see that the blessing which belonged to the firstborn, the Jews, was given over to the younger, the Gentile, through the cross. Cross hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessing comes through the cross. Galatians 3:13-14, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham came through the cross to the Gentiles. The Jews rejected the cross. Therefore, Jesus got the Gentile bride. Now, I slipped just another quote here, and I did a quick search, like on Crossing of the Hands, and I found something that happened in Brother Branham's ministry. He's actually dedicating his grandson. Now, I want you to, because when Jacob crossed his hands, he did this on his grandsons. Brother Branham prayed a prayer. He didn't cross his hands, but he prayed a prayer for his grandson. And he made mention like this. He says, our gracious Heavenly Father, I know I'm getting way up the road when I hold my grandson in my hand. But I'm thinking of Jacob when he brought his grandchildren between his knees when he was an old man. Ephraim and Manasseh blessed those children and imparted to them the spiritual blessings that lasted even to this day. How he crossed his hands from one to the other, taking the blessing from the Jews to the Gentiles at the cross. Let the God of heaven come near now. This grandson that you have given to me, Lord, through my son and my daughter-in-law, I'm thinking of she being barren, could raise no children, and coming down that day from Yakima, Washington, when she was crying and said, I wish I could have a baby. Now, you all have to understand this. It says, your spirit came into the car, and there I said, you shall have it. And today I hold this fine little boy in my hand, your spoken word, your promise. Now, understand, this was a serious situation. The daughter-in-law
that Brother Branham is praying for, and he's receiving his grandson from what I understand, when Billy Paul married this particular lady, Brother Branham himself couldn't even go to the wedding. Couldn't even go to the wedding. And the reason he couldn't is because Billy Paul was already married before, right? And being married, Brother Branham had to go and, you know, he got married underage, but still he made a vow. That's what I was saying earlier. You got to be careful, right? So he made a vow, and even though the parents broke it, he when it's time to get remarried, Brother Branham said he couldn't even go to the wedding. Couldn't even go. Couldn't even be a part of it. But yet, this is why I say God can take sometimes your mess and bless it. This same person that he couldn't go to the wedding, God gave him a vision and say she's going to have a child. And now he's praying for that child. This is God is a good God. God is a good God. Look at this. I want to go on a little further. He says, now, Lord, in simplicity of our actions, he says, we place this baby by faith in the hands of the Lord Jesus, that him being here in the form of the Holy Spirit will take the baby into his arms and his care, and we guide it through life, give it health and strength, a long life if you tarry, and may the baby be used to your glory. May the power of the living God rest upon the child if he lives to be a man. Now, I know that Brother Billy Paul lost a lot of children, you know, and this is why I say sometimes, you know, you be careful, right? You be careful. If you get outside the will of God, sometimes you got to pay for some things. And he lost a lot of children. You go to Jeffersonville, you'll see there's many graves of Brother Billy Paul's children. Amen. So Brother Branham says, if he lives to be a man and Jesus tarries, may he preach the gospel. Now, why would he pray that prayer? This was a cross to pass from Billy Paul to Billy Paul's son. Because of what Billy Paul did, he couldn't become a preacher. And this was a prayer of a cross. Now, I don't know what happened to this son. I don't know. I don't know if he didn't live. I don't know what happened. But I know the prayer itself was the same way Jacob prayed. Here, Brother Branham's picking this up and doing the same thing for his grandson. It's just to me so perfect the way that God led his prophet. He says, may the power of the living God rest upon the child if he lives to be a man. And Jesus tarries, may he preach the gospel. The power of God that gave him to his mother and father, may it never depart from him. Bless his daddy and his mother. May they be raised, and may he raise this baby in the Christian atmosphere. That all possible human training that they can do, this baby shall have it. Now, little Billy Paul Branham Jr., I give thee to Almighty God in dedication. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The blessing comes through the cross. Amen. All right, let's go on. Okay. Verse 22 in Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Amen. Gave commandment concerning his bones. And Joseph did this all by faith, by faith, by faith. Knowing that God was going to do something special. If you all have been following the plan there on the Bible Church app, the one-year Bible reading plan, actually you will come into the story of Joseph. If you haven't started yet, you'll be coming into the story of Joseph. And I'm just blessed. Every time I read that story, I get so much just looking at how he handled himself through all these situations. And he was a young man. Like I told you, he was 17 years old when he got taken from his father's house, gets placed in a pit, 17 years old, very young man. And if I'm not mistaken, I think by the time he was elevated to Pharaoh's court, he was only 30 years old. So a very young man, went through a lot of things there in his life. but just his attitude, and you know, and God had to strip him of some of that stuff. You know, God used the trials in Joseph's life to strip him of who he was. Amen. You know, Joseph wore that coat with pride. He knew that he was his daddy's favorite son. So his daddy gave him this special coat, Joseph rainbow coat, and his other brothers didn't have that. Daddy didn't make one for the other 11. He gave one to Joseph. He set Joseph aside by the way he dressed him. But when his brothers saw that coat, and Joseph showed up to, you know, to try to, you know, give a report to the dad as to what the brother's well-being, there he was in that coat. And the brothers knew it was him because they knew ain't nobody had no coat like that but Joseph. And they the one thing that they took off Joseph's body to report back to the daddy was the coat. Took the coat off, got some blood from an animal and mixed it all in there. Say, and pretty much didn't tell daddy what happened, just what you think happened, daddy. And let him live like that for years. When he finally realized that Joseph was alive, the Bible says his heart just dropped, right? He just pretty much almost stopped beating. He's like, my son Joseph is still living. Are you serious? Got his stuff so fast and got up out of there and said, I'm going to see my son Joseph. And then let me die. And when he got down there to see Joseph, he still lived another 17 years before he passed. But we see these things here. Amen. In the scripture, and it's just a real blessing just to look at Joseph's life, and we're gonna read about this change that happened in Joseph. We're gonna pick this up in Genesis 50. Genesis 50, and I'm gonna start reading at verse 14. Before Jacob died, he made Joseph promise that don't leave me here. Don't leave me here in Egypt. Take me back to where my forefathers are buried. That's where I want to be buried. And he was speaking by faith that, you know, the resurrection was going to take place near Bethlehem, Palestine, Brother Branham said. Resurrection, that first resurrection when Jesus died and rose again, that resurrection is going to take place there. So he said, you got to know where to be buried. Praise God. So you had to know where to be buried if you want to come up in a resurrection. Can I say it's the same thing today. You got to know to be buried in this word if you want to be a part of a resurrection. Praise God. Genesis 50, and I'm picking up at verse 14. This is after they've gone and buried his daddy, Jacob. Now they're on their way back. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, now here they are lying again. They never got free from that lying spirit. And this is after being in Egypt for well over 17 years with Joseph. They still lying. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. I want you to see something here. Sometimes you holding on to stuff that other folk done let go of. And the only reason you holding on to it is because you never made it right in the first place. Right, you know, I don't recall where these brothers actually apologized to Joseph for what they did. When Joseph said, come near, I'm your brother, I'm your brother. They were just sitting there with their mouth open. You who? I'm Joseph, your brother. Is my father still alive? They never really made peace with this. Hallelujah. There are some things we probably need to make peace with. That way we'll get our guilty conscience free. Amen. Right? Listen, And verse 18 says, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. They said, behold, we be thy servants. Now, that was already fulfilled. They didn't have to redo this again. Look at this. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. This show you that Joseph had changed. Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good. You thought evil against me, but actually that was all part of God's plan. You had to do what you did. If you would not have done that, I wouldn't be in Egypt in this position. That's why I said on Sunday, you know, where you are right now is where God wants you to be. No matter how bad it may look in your life, where you are right now is where God wants you to be. I put that out there on Instagram, and a sister say, I'm living in sin, and I know this ain't where God want me to be. You right about that. If you're in sin, God don't want you there. God wants you to come out of there. See, Joseph was doing the will of God, and he was in prison. So I'm talking about Christians, amen, that's going through things in their life. Where you are right now as a believer is where God wants you to be. Somebody did evil to you, God meant it for good. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Sometimes it's only when you get on the other side of the trial that you can understand what God did. Now, therefore, fear you not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware for Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, their dad. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And later on, you'll see in the book of Exodus where when they was heading out of Egypt, they were carrying Joseph's bones in that coffin. My God. And Joseph went to be buried where his daddy was. And when the resurrection happened, Joseph was right there in the resurrection. Let's read a couple quotes here on this. Coming out of the message to children of Israel, the prophet says, notice they're going down in there, how perfect it was with the scriptures, how Joseph, the younger son, rejected of his brethren. Christ rejected of his brethren. He wore a coat of seven colors. Joseph and the seven colors, of course, represented seven colors in the rainbow, which was a covenant. And God always has his covenant people. And then his one young Joseph was killed, supposedly, by his brethren. And his coat was to be returned to his father. And I want you to see another thing, that he was thrown into a ditch and was supposedly to be dead, but he was taken up from the ditch and was taken into the greatest commercial city of the world and was made a right-hand man, that no man could enter into the gates or come into the courts without first coming through Joseph, a perfect type of Christ. They thought they had killed him and thrown him into the grave, but God raised him up, and today he sits at the right hand of his majesty. And no man can come to God except he come through Christ. Is that right? Notice in the butcher and the baker, one was refused, one rejected, like the two thieves at the cross, a perfect type. And then at the death of Joseph, he left the sign to the Egyptians that his bones would be taken out when they went out. Many of the Egyptians passed them by, or the Israelites, rather, down in Egypt, and see those bones, they knew someday before those bones completely deteriorated that they would move forward and they would move with them. Christ, not as I believe in his bones, but he left an empty tomb. That we who are Christians today, someone said, Brother Branham, the only thing that you got to know that you're a Christian is some Hebrew writing. I said, I got more than that to show that I'm a Christian. Sure have. You have too. If you've been born again, notice, but we have an empty tomb. Amen. It goes on here in this sermon, Why Little Bethlehem. It says, how about when Job died and specified his burial place? Along came Abraham. Abraham bought the parcel of ground to bury his wife. Sarah and Abraham, when he died, wanted to be buried with Sarah. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac, when he died, wanted to be buried with Abraham. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob died, plumbed down in Egypt, but he made Joseph his prophet's son, swear by him with his hand on his limping hip that he would not bury him down in Egypt. Why? I said, take me up into the land and there let him be buried. And Joseph, when he died down in Egypt, made mention of the departing and Israel going out according to the prophecy, but said, take my bones out of the land. Why? They knew the first fruits of the resurrection was coming up from that land, because Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and at the last days he'll stand upon the earth, and though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. They knew that first fruits of the resurrection was coming out of the promised land, not Egypt. They were spiritual. They were prophets. And when Jesus died on Good Friday and raised up on Easter morning, the following Sunday morning, the Bible said many of the saints that slept in the dust of the earth raised up and come out of the graves, went into the city, went on into glory with him. Why? It was them prophets that knowed exactly where to be buried at the place and at the time. It was hid from the eyes of the wise, but they knew what they looked looked at the spirit side. The first fruits of the resurrection was to come out of Palestine, not out of Egypt. So is it today, friends. So many people hold on to things of the world or of some great system or something. And I want to make sure we get that. So many people hold on to things of the world or some great system or something, bury me in Jesus. Well, I guess if you're holding on to the system, you're not being buried in Jesus. Think about that. You got to know where to be buried. God was so perfect when he called my auntie home. I love one brother told me, because, you know, he just encouraged my heart. She passed on October the 7th. And the brother said, you know, that's just so perfect for God, because she stood on Revelation 10:7. God don't make no mistakes. See, if you got to know where to be buried, you got to be buried underneath his word, because there's a promise for a rapture for those that, you know, and that's the other thing. Say, the scriptures say that we which are alive and remain. I wonder what that remain could mean, especially looking at today. Alive and remain a part of that word, all right? Because, you know, people taking a big chance to say that they're going to make it to heaven in a denomination, taking a big chance. Praise God. You can't reject God and then think that you're going to get something from him by rejecting him. It don't work that way. Listen, he says, so is it today, friends. So many people hold on to things of the world and some great system or something. Bury me in Jesus. For those that are in Christ, will God bring with him in that resurrection? And I don't care what the world's got to say, how much they try to tinselize things. It's in Christ, those that are in Christ, that God will bring with him. The spiritual mind catches those spiritual things. They go on a little further here. When Joseph died, he said, don't you bury my bones down here, but someday God will visit you. You take my bones out of this Egypt up yonder in the promised land and bury them. Why, nothing wrote in the word about it. but it was a spiritual understanding. They know that that first fruits of the resurrection, that Redeemer that Job saw would rise, and on Easter morning when he rose up, there come Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the saints that slept under the dust of the earth, come out and went into the city and appeared to many. But they did it by spiritual revelation. They knew exactly where to be buried. We better know by spiritual revelation where to be buried. Tell you what, if I go before the rapture, let me go believe in this word. Amen. Let me go believe in this word. Praise God. All right, church. Well, we'll stop there for tonight. Amen. And pick up again. We'll be starting with Moses. Next time we sit, amen, by faith, Moses, we'll get into that. But we thank God for these characters. And as the prophet told us, you know, he said when he looked at Hebrews 11, he said, ain't no way I'm going to teach it. He says, I'll be there for 2 years, because he said, I got to go and get each character and trace them back in the Old Testament and bring it forward. So he told us how to teach it. And that's exactly what we're trying to do here. But we thank God. I think it is it's carrying us through and just giving us just some understanding here of why some of these things happen in Scripture. Thank God for it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the cross, realizing that the blessing came to us Gentiles through the cross of Calvary. We can look back and see Jacob and why he blessed the younger over the older, and even him being the younger, out of him and his brother Esau, he received a blessing. He received a birthright. And now down into Joseph's sons, he does this, Lord, and what a type. Your prophet picks it up and he brings it to us and lets us realize that the blessing comes through that cross to us. So we thank you for that. And Lord, as we even look at Joseph tonight, he knew to tell the people, don't leave me here in Egypt. I know that I came and I know I've become something great here in Egypt, but this is not where I'm supposed to be buried. He says, take me. He says, one day God is going to visit you and you're going to leave Egypt and you're going to the promised land. And when you go, make sure you take my bones with you. He had a revelation. He had an understanding. Jacob had that same revelation, that same understanding. And God, how we just appreciate that we can gather a revelation from that we know not to be buried in denomination, but we want to be buried, Father, in this revealed word, buried so far in it, God, that one day these bodies will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, because it's the word that's producing that change. God, we just trust, Lord, that we would be that group that would be alive and remain until the coming of that great day. We look forward to it, Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We'll prepare for tonight's offering. A couple of announcements that we'll make mention of here.